Well, hello and welcome to the PMQ Live Update for Friday, April 17th. I'm Brian Hernandez, and I'm here with David Scott Peters, restaurant coach extraordinaire, consultant to the industry, just all around great guy. Copying my hairdo, but I don't think he needs it. He's still got some hair up there.
So. I got full head of hair. Just by choice. You're one sexy beast. I just want to be like you. That's all.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, David. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and give kind of a brief rundown of who you are and what you do.
Sure. For the most part, I'm a restaurant trainer coach. Company's called Take Action Enterprises, LLC. Otherwise, you can find me at davidscottpeters.com. I've been coaching independent restaurants since 2003, where I built a company that literally built software for everything that, that has to do with running a restaurant and successfully. I sold that to my business partner and a group of satisfied users last June. And so now, right now, what am I doing? I'm helping independents go back to basics, giving you the same skill sets and tools the chains use without losing your independence. You love our guests, love your employees, but you are going to do what they do, and that's make money through group coaching, training systems, live seminars, things like that. So all intents and purposes, I'm a systems guy to help you make more money. That's what I do.
Awesome, man. That's something that we all need in these trying times right now, obviously. And we're definitely going to touch on basically the focus of this conversation is how to kind of survive the weathering storm. And I did want to let everybody know watching through Facebook, you can ask your questions of David in the comments, but we'll also put up ways that you can reach him after this is done. And we're going to share a lot of the other tools that he's already put out there that you can actually go see on YouTube and other links. So I did want to say that we do have one already up there. So we have Dennis McQuinn's already jumped in and says hello. So without further ado,
hey,
David,
Dennis, what's going on, my friend?
Without further ado, we want to kind of jump into what the crux of, I think, this this talk is going to be about, and that's, I guess, a 12-week cash flow budget. This is something that you were talking to me about that really intrigued me that I think a lot of people have probably done, but a lot of people have not. So why don't you explain that to us?
Well, I often tell any restaurant owner the two most important systems you can have in time when times are good are budgets and recipe costing cards. The two most important systems any restaurant should have are budgets and recipe costing cards. Why? Because they're literally the proactive systems. You can control your bottom line. You can set proactively manage your business. And oh, by the way, what are the two systems most independents never have? Budgets and recipe costing cards. Why? They're too hard. Well, now we've got this COVID-19 thing and we're in crisis. Like our industry in the first 2 weeks, you just put it up in flames, right? And I'm sitting there, so how do we survive it? And so I throw all those things out the window with the one exception. That is, I need a budget now, but for 12-week cash flow. Can I survive this? Can I create a plan for success? How do I know if I should take the PPP money? Can I bring enough people back in order to make it forgivable? Or even though it's only 1% interest, it's a 2-year amortization. The payments could be huge and harmful. So what do I do? And so it starts with creating basically, if we go back several weeks, I call this basically end of week 5, you know, once and the week started when the state started shutting down in my world. And so I sit there and say, okay, those first 2 weeks, I think a ton of restaurants aren't coming back. And Brian and I are going to talk about that. And it makes me really, really sad. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to say, how do I survive? We're a business of cash flow. So we had sales that were really high. And we had, right, we are on a pace for a record year. I talked to restaurant owner after restaurant owner. We were on pace for a record year. And then like that, sales, we were shut down for all intents and purposes. If you're a full service restaurant and you went to curbside, delivery, the apps, right, to go pick up, whatever it may be, well, you saw your sales drop 50%, 75% or worse. A lot of people tried, and they closed their doors. Well, unless you're, for many of us on this live feed is, if you're a pizzeria that has a drive-through, you're a pizzeria that's already been doing delivery, right? If you're a restaurant that already has a drive-through and delivery, some of our us in this segment are actually seeing a boom because the consumer, our customers, already know that you deliver. Like it's top of mind. Oh, I know that pizza place delivers. I know I can go through a drive-through and get there. So while the majority of the business, the restaurant industry is getting slammed, there are some segments that are seeing an uptick. Now, here's the deal. When you put together a 12-week cash flow, this is not about making money. It's not about profitability. It's can I pay my bills? So if I started to say $20,000 in the bank, and I know that maybe 16 is my magic number, that if I have $16,000 in the bank, I can make payroll. As long as money keeps coming back in, I can maintain a $16,000 balance, I'm good. Well, the fact of the matter is, when those sales dropped off, many of us dropped below that magic bank balance. And then we're sitting there going forward and say, how do we make this work? Well, by putting your 12-week cash flow budget, we knew whether or not we needed to furlough or lay off some people, fire them. Sad. Like when we see the first 3 weeks of this, 16 million people filed for unemployment. My guess is half of those, if not more, are hospitality workers. You name one bartender, you know that's working in a bartending job. It doesn't exist, right? So we make these decisions and then we start to map it out week after week when bills are being paid. It has nothing to do with profitability. So accounting wise, it's not basically amortization, it's cash. It's what is the bill? When is it paid for? If you bought gift cards or if people are buying gift cards from you, it's not a sale, but it's going to be a positive cash flow, right? It's positive to your bank account. So we put all these pluses and minuses together, if you will. And we say, here's where my bank balance started. Here's what will happen with payroll, cost of goods sold. And then you say, oh, based on how I'm operating, I'm going to lose $2,000 a month. I started with $24,000. I can't go below 16. And you go week after week after week. And by the time you get to weeks 3, 4, 5, 6, and you start to see yourself make that bank balance not only go down into below that 16,000, but into the red. And you say, I can't sustain this. And we start to create a plan. Who do I defer? Like, do I defer my landlord? Like, do I call them up and say, look, I've been paying you for years on time. I looked at the lease and I'm in trouble with you at 90 days. I'm letting you know up front. If you can work with me, if we can, and a lot of landlords are allowing you to defer, you're moving the payments to the end of the lease, but work with me. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to postpone that, defer that payment. And then you can see the bank balance change. Now you're going to have another sheet that says, here's what the bills I'm stacking up, right? What is the hole I'm digging? Then you sit there and look at it and say, okay, what else can I defer? Well, a lot of states are allowing you to defer your sales tax for the first time, but you're still going to owe it. Got to report it. And now all of a sudden that hole gets deeper, right? I'm now adding to my list of bills I owe. And we start looking at it and said, well, maybe I can defer my payroll taxes. Is that being allowed to be done? And then you go, what else? My distributors. God bless our distributors. You're sitting there and think, you know, we're getting it really hard. We're getting hit hard. The Ciscos of the world, think of all the restaurants that have shuttered their doors, that have cut back their purchasing next month, nothing. And they're contracted. All those prices, when you got that great pricing, they contracted to buy that beef, that chicken. It's coming. No matter what, this COVID, they're not, the production is happening. It's coming to them. And so all of a sudden, you know, we got all these restaurants defaulting with them, not paying. You've got people who they've got all this product coming in that's dated and could go bad. And so while I'd say, yeah, you may defer some of those bills, communicate with them. We're partners with them. Hey, XYZ distributor, I'm in trouble. If I pay half my bill, will you continue to deliver to me? Find something out. Find out what they have. Like, are there products that you've got to get rid of? I can get better price. Odds are there is. And many companies, especially a Cisco's of the world, are going out there and helping you set up grocerants where we can pivot and say, here's some sales. We can sell janitorial supplies and paper supplies and steaks and chicken, which we couldn't get in the grocery stores. And so it's an incredibly important and powerful when you look at, can I partner with them? And then we go line by line by line down our bills. And we start to say, what do I pay now? What can I defer? What do I pay now? What do I defer? And the whole idea is if we look 12 weeks out, can I survive? Then we go to this PPP thing, right? Depending on where you are on this, a debacle, right? Bottom line, debacle. The site was difficult to get on. They changed the rules. Then you couldn't get back on the site. Then they opened it up. Then they said, okay, it was going to be this criteria. Then it became that criteria. And most recently, it was, okay, we'll lend you up to 2.5 times your payroll, your average payroll for the year. No problem. Great. Well, should you take that money? What if that's $20,000? What if that's $30,000? What is $40,000, $100,000? Okay. But then you've got to make sure that you only use it for rent, utilities, and payroll. Yet nobody has told us how they're going to measure. Like, there is nobody out there that knows because the government has not told us yet. we're making an assumption, and Gannon, who's a restaurant CPA of the Largo Group, she and I have put together a webinar series. We're going into week six on this because things change. We think that it's going to be your payroll reports, which means when payroll's paid, not based on how we operate on accrual accounting, that we accrued that payroll and it's going to be go against the money I borrowed. No, it's going to be the payroll as if it was cash. So now what is it? You have, as soon as you get approved, you've got something like 3 days before they fund you. And then the clock starts ticking. Well, now you got to start thinking about, hey, loan officer, can you hold off paying me that money? Give me that money. So the timing is, by the time that window of the weeks that you've got to be back up, that window starts ticking, that I might be able to squeak an extra payroll in there because it's about the cash, so that I can make sure I abide by the 75% rule. And will that change? Because as Ann and I were talking about, you start looking at those loan documents. There is no final thing. If you look at each bank, will have its own criteria on how you are going to comply. Well, most of them are putting in this clause as described by the SBA, whatever that is, their terms, which means there is nothing yet. So you could already collect the money and all of a sudden your terms become really, really difficult to deal with. So yeah, borrow the money if you can, if you're one of the fortunate ones, because as of today, yesterday, the funds dried up. Now, do I think Congress is going to open it up again? Yeah, after they play politics, when they screw around with our businesses. I'm a dissatisfied American. I don't care what side of the political fence you live on. And I was dissatisfied before COVID-19. But don't play freaking politics with our businesses. But the bottom line is, let's say you got the money, collect it. Maybe you don't use it all because you've got to do 75% of that labor. And are you going to bring it in? Are you closed, shuttered right now? You're going to bring them in and pay them to do nothing? Do you have things to do, right? How are you going to do that? So maybe you keep the money, you do use some of it, but there's no prepayment penalty. Maybe you don't use it all. Make sure you understand, because if you do not get it forgiven, even though it's 1% interest, it's a 2-year amortization. You could end up with a $13,000 payment, $20,000 payment, and that didn't help you out. All you did was pay people to work, and you are in a worse situation. So guess what? The cash flow running 12 weeks, it allows me to see whether I should do that. Should I borrow that money? Can I make it? What other changes do I have to make? And that's really the what the 12-week cash flow budget does for us. It's your crystal ball for your plan.
Well, just editorializing a little bit here, I mean, you had said in our conversation earlier, you felt this was handled backwards, that some of the corporations, they should have got loans because they can manage that kind of payment. An independent should have received grants. There's nothing we could do about it. It's just how you feel. And I never thought of it that way.
Well, think about it. You got these big corporations, right, that are getting grant money. All right. God bless. We need the airlines. They move our stuff. They move our mail. They move packages. Even we're not people on a plane. They're contracted to move some stuff. Well, we need that. We need to move medical professionals from one state to another, first responders. I mean, you got to have airlines. I get it. But they're also the ones that made tons of money. And so when times are good and you say, okay, we're going to give them money, but we're going to loan us little guys the money. Why aren't we giving them loans that they pay back and we're getting the grants? Because hospitality alone is the number one employer in the United States. Hospitality industry is the number one employer, and we just went up in flames. I don't drives me
well, nuts. And I know it's nice to vent sometimes.
Yeah,
but I wanted to, Gino Rago came in, Carmelo Lamota. They've been watching religiously, so we do appreciate it, guys. Ask your questions here. We're gonna get them answered now. Peter Felici, I think we might have actually talked about this. Maybe you didn't see, but he asked David. I know as of yesterday, they're not paying out any more PPP loans. Do you know if any of your restaurants received a loan, and do you think they'll fund the program further? Now, as far as further funding, I think you said nope, we don't know yet. We hope, but I mean.
So I know there's still people getting notified. So yes, Peter, good to almost see you. I know Peter. Peter's a great guy. Yes, I've had members who have gotten the money. They were approved early on and got money. I know that there's money hitting banks or hitting their bank accounts today. The big question is, we don't know. I can't tell you that there's going to be more money. I can't imagine there's not, but it means the Democrats and Republicans are going to play their game, and we're at bay. And the scary part is 1-2 weeks. That's the difference between some of us surviving. Brian, you know what I'm talking about beforehand. There's a couple things that were going on. One, I say anecdotally, and I'm going to pull this up in my phone. Anecdotally, I just lost it. Anecdotally, well, I say 25% of independent restaurants are not reopening. Now, I have no science behind that. I have no money or money riding on it. I got nothing except for my experience and the people I talk to. And me working with literally thousands upon thousands of independent restaurant owners and managers since 2003, we're cash poor all the time, as long as we got sales coming in. So I know for a fact, 25%, good, one out of every four restaurants are not going to reopen. But then there was a study that, who did we say it was James Beard Foundation.
Yeah.
And the Coalition for
Restaurants. Yeah, I did get that written down. But yeah.
So they surveyed 14,000 restaurants. Independent restaurants, and 80% of them said, we're not sure we're going to survive the COVID-19 crisis. What the heck? This is frightening. So I'm going to tell you right now, as I spent all that time in the beginning, you need a 12-week cash flow budget. Now, I am providing you, along with Ann Gannon of the Largo Group, there's a link in the chat below, and it's streaming down below. If you opt in there, there's no obligation. You're not going to buy anything, nothing. You have my word. You're going to be given the last 5 weeks videos or the recordings of the webinars that we've done. And you can see how things changed PPP, but I also give you my 12-week budget builder, MVP 12-week cash flow system, a spreadsheet, is a Google sheet. So all you need is a Gmail account and copy it over and use it. And by opting in there, you're going to get the replay on her site. You're going to get the product on my site. And then we're doing yet another live one this next week. I believe it's Wednesday. And so it was supposed to be 4 weeks. We're going on week six. Why? Because this stuff changes every single week. It's critical.
Yeah. And I did want to mention that I'm putting another link in the comments, guys. You can find the first comments, the link to the Largo Group with David and Ann Gannon. But I'm also putting this one. This is your YouTube channel as well. Now, this is something that you do have a series of, you know, YouTube videos that you've been producing. And are these the ones done with Ann, or are these just a David Scott Peter productions?
These are just DSP, man. This is so I put out a weekly tip, and when the COVID-19 thing hit, I pulled back the weekly tips, and I'm doing I think it's been every Monday, I'm doing a COVID-19 live, if you will. What's changed? And each week, what are the new criteria, the challenges we're having, or what we've got to do successfully? And in fact, I believe that if you're still open today, whether or not you're dying for that PPP money and you still may not need it or shouldn't take it, again, accept it. You can always give it back, right? It's much easier to take money and give it back. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the rules change. And this last week I said, hey, guess what? If you're still open right now, you're probably one of the people who are going to make it. Because I think restaurant owners are the most resilient people in the world. We think we are eternally optimistic, even when we're in a shit storm, right? We're in a shit storm. And we sit there and go, oh my gosh, we should put a bullet in our head. We're done. Somehow we start to, what do? We got restaurant owners being grocery stores. We got restaurant owners who have never done delivery, takeout, curbside, doing that. We got people who are figuring out how to work with the states and do contracts with schools and with the underprivileged to make sure that they have contracts to feed. I know members who are, and restaurant owners who are working with the National Guard and now taking over feeding them. I mean, we are the most creative, innovative, resilient group of people in the world. And so that inspires me. But man, it still hurts every single day to see on Facebook and LinkedIn a restaurant owner going, we tried. We did our very best to stay open. We couldn't get it done. So if you're still open, I feel pretty good that you're going to make it. I'm not telling you aren't coming out the other side with incredible debt, with, feel like an elephant sitting on your chest, but you're going to figure it out. And I'm going to be here to help you. Things like the cash flow budget system and things like that. I'll be doing things like I'm doing with Brian now. Anything I do to help our industry, that's the goal.
Well, and we're very appreciative of everything you're doing. And you've got, sounds like you've studied this at length. And I mean, this is, I mean, it's, your job, but I mean, it's not anything you've ever done before in the past.
No.
You're usually just helping people navigate just the regular economy and stuff.
Right.
What did you have to do? What was the first thing you did? I usually ask the restaurants, what's the first adaptation they made? What was the first thing you did to kind of adjust your coaching style, for lack of a better term?
So I can tell you, as a small business owner, I was actually, the Sunday that Ohio closed and Illinois and can't remember the third one. I was literally on the phone with the New York Restaurant Association. We were doing a webinar for the COVID-19. We'd just done a panel. I was at the New York food show, the day after they declared a state of emergency. Did the three-day show, saw thousands of people, went to Vegas, took its cater source, came home, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what the hell was I in? The greatest Petri dish in the world. Not going to say I wasn't freaked out. Well, we had done a panel for the Restaurant Association. We talked about COVID at the time. And at that time, it was like, hey, this is an opportunity. Make sure you're promoting. You're doing this, this. Well, days later, we're closing states. Well, 2-3 days after that, I was supposed to launch this incredible online training program that moved you into my a group coaching program that I was launching and all this stuff. I pulled it back. I literally said, done, pull that back. And I started getting on the horn as fast as possible. For instance, this 12-week cash flow budget, I've got a spreadsheet that I had programmed with called Budget Builder MVP. It's for a monthly or 13-period accounting cycle. Well, immediately, Ann Gann and I got on the phone and we changed how we did things because the priority was, can you pay your bills? Forget about profits. Can I make that cash balance, make it through the next 12 weeks? And that was the major change. And it's probably, I've been on the phones more now than ever from talking with people like you, restaurant associations, newspapers, magazines, and members. I've got, or non-members, I should say. I've got on my site that you have the ability to set up a free call with me for a half an hour. And I've been on the phones all day long. While not making a dime, I don't give a rat's ass. What I care about, and I help you survive. And that's what it is. It's gone from, hey, I want to preach to you, work on your business, not in it. Let's put a system, a process away in everything you do. Let's have a full management team in place that you can work on it, not in it. All those wonderful things, those are out the window. I don't give a rat's ass about any of that. Roll up your damn sleeves. You got to get this done. If you got to flip a burger and do the accounting at night, then that's what you got to do. And so the change is how I approach things in the sense that I don't want you doing these things. Now you're doing things just to survive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's everything you were preaching against. Now you have to preach for, because we have no other choice. We have like you said, we have to roll up our sleeves and get in it. And what I'm hearing and from everybody I'm talking to is they're doing that. I've had a few that I've talked to that have had to close down, some by choice, some, just from the situation. But I mean, they're doing everything. I always thought that, it might be easier to get these interviews because, naively, they're not going to be as busy. Everybody's busier than ever right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They're,
even with cut hours and being shut down, they're busier than ever. And, God bless their souls. Hopefully anybody who has had to shut down can reopen. And we're talking about engagement with the customers to let them know and changing the wording to say temporarily closed. Or, and as soon as have a date, say change it from closed to we'll be reopening, change the negative to a positive message. So, unfortunately, that kind of brings us back to, I don't know if it's negative, but it's more it's a reality. But I mean, as you said, we cannot go back to the old way of doing things. Got to be ready for the new normal.
That's the number one, what is new normal? As of yesterday, the government, the federal government laid out, President Trump and his task force laid out the, here's how we're going to roll out. Well, if you pay attention to that.
Right.
Yeah, you paid. Phase one is still scary to us. If you have half your seating, can you make your occupancy cost when if we're trying to be 3-5-8%, usually 5-8% occupancy, most restaurants are 10-12. If I still can't get most of my sales back, my occupancy could be, let's call it 10-12-14-15%, 16%, which all of a sudden you're working for the landlord. You will work your ass off, and all you're going to do is pay the landlord because we can't get the sales we need necessarily. Now, there is this argument that says, okay, David, if you're right and 25% of all restaurants don't open, independents don't open, then there's this, right? We've taken some of the pressure off the industry. Bullshit. We have 16 million people unemployed in the first 3 weeks. I don't know what the last week did yet. So are we 20 million, 30 million people unemployed? They don't have money. Yeah, you can make the argument, okay, they're on unemployment. Okay, they still have tons of bills to pay. And, you know, they're going to hold on to it. We're fearful. So restaurants, we're still going to take a hit. What is the new norm, right?
Right. Well, and you'd also mentioned in the conversation, you know, about, you know, some of the new normal is that costs are going to go up. Don't expect them to come back down to where they were. I mean, because vendors are struggling as well.
If we look at 9/11, we look at the 2008 recession, right? Those are two major blips in our lifetime. What happened immediately after each? Our food prices went up. Do you think the broadline distributors who are losing millions upon millions of dollars every single week right now are not going to find a way to recoup it by 5 cents a pound on cheese, right? Another $2 on a bag of flour, right? It's coming. Our costs are going to go up. Just look at all the utilities that are deferring, or cell phone or insurance companies that are giving money back to consumers because you're not driving. Well, they're going to want that money back. They're going to need it for them to survive. And so our costs are going to go back up again. We know that. So that means if you're an operator, now let's say we've never met before. All right. So back in 2003, when I switched into coaching independent restaurants, I used to be a franchisor, turned around a failing franchise into a positive sale. I grew up in my family's restaurant and catering business, worked in a multi-unit brew pub as an operations manager. I've done all these things, which led me to helping independents give you the same systems and tools that chains use without losing your independence. Love our guests, love our employees. We're going to make money. And I've been preaching, teaching systems, teaching. Well, maybe you've never heard that message, or you're like, I'm making enough. I'm still, hey, it's okay. Well, now our margins are going to fall faster. And so it is more imperative now, right now, while you're in the middle of COVID, to start implementing systems. Now we're talking about budgets, creating a proactive plan. We're talking about budgeting our purchasing. Hey, chef, this is how much money you can spend. You can't spend more than that without asking for permission. Hey, we're going to budget labor. Hey, chef, you only have 250 hours. I don't care that you normally schedule 300. You have 250 based on our sales. That's all you have. And we're talking recipe costing cards. We're talking about weekly inventories. We're talking about doing the things that you must do to run a business, not just some place that does great hospitality. And if you don't do that, we come out this other side. Remember, you're going to have debt. Most every one of us are going to have this big hole that we just dug full of debt. How are you going to get out of it that you're not working for everybody else for the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years? And that's get your stuff together, put systems in place for everything that you do.
Well, and I mean, you were talking about, you know, you definitely get tight on the budgets, you know, for your food costs and all this stuff. Is there, I mean, some suggestions, I mean, do you increase the cost on the front end for the customers? Do you do it incrementally, or do you just do it all at once, like the Band-Aid, get it right off and, make more deals, trying to drive the new, you know, new revenue or new business, new customers and stuff.
So it's a trick question, right? There's so much we can talk about. It's a trick question. Why? Yeah, you got to raise your prices. However, there's lots of people who watch us that are fearful of raising prices. So haven't raised their prices. And even if they did, they have no idea whether that's a good thing or a bad thing because they don't have recipe costing cards. I mean, how do we run a business not knowing what something costs? But we do it in the restaurant business. If you ever bought tires at a tire retail store, you walk in, you see a stack of tires. Do you think the manager walked in, had a cup of coffee, stared at it, went, what should I charge for these? $350? Or do you think the manager knew exactly what to sell those tires for that he or she could make money? Yet in our business, chef, what's today's special? Oh, it's fettuccine Alfredo with some chicken. And oh, great. And Sally with the beautiful chalkboard writing writes it out and says, chef, how much is it? Stares at it, goes, $13.95. You're kidding me, right? Yeah. We can't do that. We've got to know what things cost. So yes, you need to raise prices. However, I'm going to put a caveat on that. If you don't have recipe cards, menu mix, your point of sale system, that P mix report, velocity report, item by item sales mix report, most important piece of information you'll ever have. That will tell you what your ideal food cost should be. No waste, no theft, no spoilage, perfect restaurant, which does not exist. But by having that information, we can re-engineer a menu, not always raise prices, product placement, picture, if it makes sense for your concept, placement, whatever it may be, get rid of items, put new items on. We can find a 3 to 7 point swing on your food cost. And that's not raising all the prices. Well, I can't do that. I cannot do that if I don't have accurate, up-to-date recipe costing cards. So then we just raise prices. Well, here's the challenge. Many restaurants, coast to coast, just raise their prices because they're going to a $15 minimum wage. And they didn't have this stuff. Yeah. They just kind of boosted it up. Well, you're going to do it again?
Yeah.
Right? Without the right information, how do you make these decisions? So,
well, and the question that I was asking, and I guess I had asked it just as Gina was thinking about it too, is that you've obviously made the point that the price increase is going to have to happen. But Gina was asking, do you think it's better removing coupons or keeping the coupons and raising prices? I mean, I guess for people who do coupons and deals, I mean, if they raise their prices, should they keep the coupons or should they take that off? Because then that adds a little more extra revenue just on the back end from the coupon discount.
So let me be 100% clear. I'm not against discounting. I'm not against couponing. I'm against the misuse and overuse of couponing. Have you set yourself up, and we do this in pizza all the time, have you set yourself up to be the dry cleaner of the restaurant industry? What do I mean by that? Well, I'm not a coupon shopper. I should be. I really should be, right? Save money. But every month, the only coupon we use, we get one of those money mailers or super coupes in the mail. My wife goes through and pulls one coupon out. It's for the dry cleaner and it goes in the basket and I let my shirts stack up and I got a ton of shirts because I speak all over the country and I don't wear them every single day. So they just stack up and then we wait to go to the dry cleaner and we get that coupon because that's the real price. So when we put coupons out and we train our guests that that's the real price, we're sometimes devaluing our product. There's a great book out there called by John DeJulius called Secret Service. And he's a customer service expert. And he says, with wow customer service, we make price irrelevant. Then we go one step further, and there's a good friend of mine, Cameron Carrington of RepeatReturns.com, used to have the Black Book Pizza, the marketing book. And he, through studies, when he had his Wasatch Pizza, figured out that when he put a coupon in the paper or whatever, the money mailer, and it had the dotted line around it, he didn't have to discount it. He only had one person go, that's the same price. Right?
Yeah, it's like the $14.99 versus $15.05. It just, you trick them with, I hate using the term, but I mean, the mind works in different ways like that. And I've heard that too, actually, I think it was from Cameron, that just that dotted line means everything, even if it's the same price.
Right. And the bottom line is, if I want to compete, I'd rather not be a coupon shop. I'd rather have the best damn product in the world, right? We have a choice. We can price lower than everybody is, undercut them like we're a dive bar. We can price like everybody else. Why not get what everybody else is getting? We could charge more than everybody else because our product, our service, our experience is so much better that it's a value at any price. So without knowing more about your business, what the right thing to do is, I can't say. But I can say you still have to manage your discounts in a budget. So if it were me and you wanted to do some form of discounting, I'd probably still get rid of the coupons and I'd call somebody like a Cameron and put a loyalty program in place where I reward you for coming more often. And I'd much rather do that than give you this give back because you're spending money with me often.
Okay. No, actually, setting up the incentive for them to come back versus just incentivizing them for no reason. I think that's great.
So let me touch on one thing. Go ahead. I was going to say, let me give you two things though, because we're talking about price for our guest. There's a caveat to this, and I saw it. I speak all over the country in this. Last year, I was in California at the show in L.A. A good friend of mine, Darren Dennington, has a service of style. He speaks all over the country. We went to dinner together at a seafood restaurant right by the arena, and I ordered a swordfish steak. And if you think swordfish steak, don't you think thick? Well, it came in. It was wafer thin. I paid for this. I got this. But L.A. is a $15 minimum wage. We're now starting to approach where the guest experience, we can't charge enough to provide the value to that dollar. Now, we could have a shakeup. The shakeup could do it. So I want you to start thinking about, I'm going to give you two things that can really help you. And you can only do one or the other. And that is approach your vendors and try and do a prime vendor agreement. That's where you promise the Cisco's of the world or whoever you're working with, Roma, 90% of your purchasing, and they'll give you better pricing. And you can often save 2, 3, 7 points. I've seen as high as 7 points promising to buy those groceries from one vendor. Now, if you don't want to go through that and you still believe you want to, you need to order from multiple vendors in a great deal, then go ask each one of them for a descending dollar report. Make sure it's the same date range. So if you pick the first on 1 month to the 28th of another month, maybe this 3 months goes by, grab the same date range, put all that together in a spreadsheet, sort it. And from the top, from what you spend the most to what you spend the least. Did you know that the top 10 to 12 items represent 50% of all your purchasing every week? Only 10 to 12 items, 50 cents on every dollar you spend. So now if you go to your vendors and say, hey, see this product? If I promise to buy all that from you, can I get a better price? Often you can do so. What if your rep says, I've already given you the best price? Well, do you have a like quality or better quality product at a cheaper price? I did not say cheaper product. Never dummy down and go against your core values. But often when I was a franchisor, we brought product in and we'd avoid the advertising money. Meaning we brought it in for us so the big broadline distributors didn't put their hooks in it and say, hey, we get a kickback. Well, unless it is a proprietary to my system, my restaurant chain, you can have it too, but your rep will never tell you about it because they don't make as much money. So go find those products. And if you could change those top 10 items, 12 items to something else at a cheaper price, you can see a 2 to 3 point drop in your food costs like that. So either one of those works. You can't do them both. I mean, you can't do them both. So I just want to throw that out there because we started about raising prices. We can't raise them all the time. We get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, and then you start alienating the customers. But I mean, that's great information right there. Either two options that people can get. Now, you've got a couple more questions here. Gino Rago wants your advice on, you know, do you think workers are going to be less likely to come back to work in the industry because, you know, for fear of catching the virus, since we are in the industry touching so many people and being around so many people coming in and out of the restaurants?
I don't know. I'm only going to give you an opinion, right? So it's only my opinion. I think that we're not going to see that because I watched my daughter, who actually started a job during the pandemic because it was a drive-through coffee place that's big here called Dutch Brothers, and they're fanatical. And these young kids, they think they're superheroes, right? Social distancing, what's that? You know, and so I don't think so. I think we're going to be more concerned about what are the changes in modifying our operation. Are we operating in masks? Before COVID, when it started coming out, I'm like, no way in hell are we wearing masks. I'm going to scare the hell out of my customer, but we may go to gloves out front. Well, are we doing that? Do we now have new protocol? Do we have extra employees because we're sanitizing all the time? So my gut says no. What I often hear restaurant owners saying, what about this unemployment, the extra $600? Are my employees going to come back? They make more money being on the dole. Well, I'm going to tell you right
now. That's not going to last forever, though.
Well, that's too, but remember, they're short-sighted, right? These are young people. They don't care about health insurance or any of these things that the old people like me, health insurance, I better have it or I could die, right? So the fact of the matter is, you sit there and say, okay, if I'm going out there, I can look short-term, I can make more money. Well, here's what you've got to communicate and what you're going to discover. How good is your company culture? Because the truth of the matter is, if employees love coming to work, want to be a part of something bigger, you engage them, they're coming back because they buy into you, even if they could make more money in the short term. Because you'll literally have a conversation, go, I know you can make more money in the short term, but understand that there is 16 million people in the first 3 weeks unemployed, whatever it's going to be by the time we get to that date. There are jobs for everyone. So if you don't take this, it's probably not going to be here, and I want you to come back. So they get to make that decision. The second piece is, where the hell is this money coming from? Like, where are we borrowing this money? States cannot afford to keep up with it either. So mark my word, state after state after state, and there's already, I think, Massachusetts, New York, a couple others have said, if you get offered your job back and you don't take it, we're cutting you off anyway. So there's going to be some triggers in there, but I know it's a long way to go to the answer of my gut says, I don't think young workers are going to be scared. I really don't.
Okay. Well, in a Dungeon Chat Express, they chimed in again, you know, basically saying if you're given like offers, try to get their name and information so you can put them in a database and, you know, send them mailers, keep them as a customer. And digital punch cards are great. That's something they've said a couple times. So, I mean, that's it. You know, that's nice because you don't have to keep it all written down on paper. So, That goes along with keeping your customers and gaining new customers. That's something we talked about earlier. But I think you're right. It all comes down to the atmosphere that you the work atmosphere that you project. And a lot of these guys, they have long-time employees, 20, 15, 20, 30 years, you know, because it is a great place to work. There's going to be a little turnover, but I guess it sounds like just have that heartfelt conversation with your staff and say, look, you know, you may be able to get that extra 600, but that's not going to last forever.
Right. And I also want you to look at it this way. This is a chance for a new beginning, whether it's you weren't using systems before and you're going to use systems now to become as profitable as possible. But some of those employees that you should have put a bullet in, don't bring them back. It's your opportunity to change your culture. Don't bring them back.
Yeah. Right. It's the job is almost kind of done for you. So
that's right.
I did want to also touch again real quick that you do have a series of helpful YouTube videos, and not even just from this, but I mean, going back, I mean, where some of these answers might be in some of these videos. I see like restaurant success starts with restaurant 101, systems lower restaurant costs. I mean, there's a wealth of knowledge here at David Scott Peters YouTube channel, as well as the top videos being dealing with COVID. So I wanted to kind of direct everybody there.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, just to make sure that, I mean, well, this is what it's all about, is getting the people the information that they need.
And it's free. So every week I'm posting something so it can help you or your managers.
Well, and guys, this is, you know, we're kind of getting ready to wrap up. So if you have any of those last minute questions, go ahead and throw them in there, please. They want to say hi to Tim D'Arienzo out in St. Louis. I hadn't seen him in a while since he won the St. Louis Bake Off a couple years ago. I know he was getting a new place. So that'd be interesting to see how he did, because he had just bought the bar that he partnered with a bar and had his pizzeria in there. And I believe he had just bought the whole bar to turn it into a pizzeria. So I'd be interested to see how he's doing right now. So I do have another comment or question here. Let me see. Robert Royster, digital offers are where it's at. Ability to send out offers, gather customer info, put into Facebook audience, coupons as a service.com does this. Okay. Well, that's a good, you know, something that's good for people to know. Coupons as a service. Maybe you guys go check that out. And Tim D'Arienzo does say again that your videos are helpful. So I think he's one fans as well. So, I mean, I think we all are in the industry. We appreciate this. I did have a kind of a final question here. I think that, it's kind of a two-part question, really. What is the most asked question you're getting? And then I want to say, what is your most given advice, unsolicited giving advice that you're giving out to people?
So most asked question, COVID or before COVID? Because those are two very different things.
Okay. What does that mean? The COVID or before COVID? Which model do I go back to when it's done? Or
right. Because here's the deal. In COVID, the number one question is, how am I going to make it? Like, should I remain open? How am I going to make it? Right. But before COVID, it was, how do I get my managers to do the work? Those are very two different perspectives, right? Because when I'm operating, and it's how do I get them to do it? Because look, no matter what time, whether COVID or before COVID, and soon to be after COVID, bless us all, after COVID, the top two challenges, and I've surveyed thousands upon thousands of restaurateurs, probably 18,000 when I went out there. The number two, the top two challenges are not going to blow your mind. Food cost, labor cost. Oh, really? That's prime cost. Everything that I teach, everything I harp on, got it. But the hidden message, what I learned from surveying them, is the number one thing they wanted to know is, how do I get my managers to do the work? Right? It's how do I take what's crazy in my head and put it in there? And this is, you know, basically comes down to how to systemize your business. How do I give my managers the training they need? Because it's one thing, if you know how to take inventory, you know, cost of goods sold, it's freaking math. But if you don't teach them the word problem, where this number comes from, that one, how they connect into the beginning inventory plus purchases, minus ending is a use divided by sales, food costs. Wait a second, inventory. Are there batch recipes? Is it set up shelf sheet inventory? Have I updated FIFO pricing? Have I made sure all the invoices are in? Have I maintained that? Have I counted properly ounces versus cases versus eaches, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't, all these things go together to make garbage in, garbage out, or great information that I can run my business. And so the true thing is, make sure you take the time to teach your managers. One, have your system. So if you worked for me and we were, something as simple as counting out a bar drawer to $300, you're going to count it my way. Now, my wait could have 15 extra steps, could take 15 minutes longer, but I'm not going to have five managers with five different ways to count out a bar drawer right back to $300. Because why? When they leave, nobody can train that, but I can train my way. And that's the most important part is create your system, lead your system, and teach it. And then you're all of a sudden, you're going to have things done. But it's not easy. Yeah. It's people.
Well, I mean, like you said, but you're the boss. So, I mean, this is how you need it done, less how you want it done, in fact, you know, because you have to be able to train that, and it's got to be systematic, and it's got to be the same consistency. I mean, everything in this industry comes down to consistency, from the food to the back-end operations. So sounds like you're just saying have that in order, but adapt that for the new situation and then train that on right. down the line.
Too. And so we're like right now, either way, before COVID, during COVID, after, I'm going to tell you the one thing. If you were to ask me, what's the one thing that crushes restaurants? The biggest thing. It's mm-hmm. lack of leadership. And I don't mean to insult anybody watching us now. But the truth of the matter is, just because you own a restaurant doesn't make you a leader. And it takes leadership to be successful. Systems help make up for your weaknesses. If you're somebody who's all a social worker, oh, it's all about the guest experience, and it's all about my employees, and it's all about give, give, give. You often don't make money. You don't pay attention to your damn numbers. There are no budgets, no recipe cards, no inventory. But if I put systems in place to start paying attention to my numbers, I make money. Vice versa, you can be a pencil pusher. All you care about is the numbers. You're not very good with people. In fact, they drive you nuts, and you're impatient, and you have high turnover because it's about just do what I say. Well, what are you saying? Well, systems help you communicate what you want done, what kind of service, quality, all these things making you money. And so systems make us a leader. It's not this big bet. It's only meant for the chains. It's for us to run a enterprise that our team can follow what we want done. You got to be a leader.
That's great information right there. You lead by example. And that's I'm hearing a lot too from all our guys, the guys and ladies that I'm interviewing right now. It's just you have to lead by example. You got to be strong for your staff, for your family, and for your customers. And, you know, God willing, we will get through this. It's going to happen. And we just have to be, I mean, I guess the main point of this one is to plan ahead now. Get this 12-week cash flow budget in order so that you know if you're still going right now, you know where you got to be.
That's right.
And then just don't expect things to go back to normal like this magical date of May 1st everybody's talking about.
Hey, there's no normal.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. So just there's going to be a new normal. But it's just not going to be the same one. So we got to kind of do our best to kind of figure out what that might be.
And we will. That's as where, an industry, you know, we will.
Yeah, well, that's where people like you come in, you know, who've got your finger on the pulse of, you know, like the big vendors and things like that, but also can relate that easily to operators. You know, Mike Rasmussen helping with taxes and just even some of the USPS team guys, the operators, telling people about their experiences and what they've had to do. So. But there are no more questions. I'm not seeing any. We do appreciate your time, David. If there's a, you know, how can people reach you if they want to reach out to you? What's the best avenues of contact?
So one of the easiest things to do is go to my site, davidscottpeters.com, and you've got two ways to go to get me. You can either go on there and say book a free consult or free session with me. It's 30 minutes of my time. I also offer on there a free evaluation for your restaurant. Fill out the questions, takes about 10 minutes. I will not follow up with you unless you want to talk to me, but it gives you a 25-page report that is exclusive to those systems you want to put in place or you need to put in place to make the money you deserve. Otherwise, you can email me at david@davidscottpeters.com, and I'm happy to answer.
Well, again, appreciate you so much for your time. Also, guys, you can ask questions here. We put a lot of these links that we've been talking about in the comment section of this video. So feel free to go check out, what is the Lorna Group as well?
The Largo Group.
Largo Group, yeah, with you and Ann Gannon. I'm sorry.
Yep, Ann Gannon. You got it. Yes, sir. All right.
So, yeah, I mean, they got a lot of good information there. They teamed up to kind of give you best of both worlds and the most information you can. Check out the YouTube, David Scott Peters, his YouTube channel. A bunch of videos, a bunch of great content. So, David, thanks again so much for joining us today. I hope you have a great weekend. I know you were just kind of thrown in here last minute, but you are the consummate professional right now. So I do appreciate it.
You having me. Thanks, everybody.
All right. You guys, everybody stay safe and stay sane.
Yeah. Amen. Bye all.